Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Turning Towards Life from Third Space, and we are Lizzie and Justin, and we are here, Lizzie, for our 335th time in a row. And what a joy it is to be here again this morning. Welcome to you, Lizzie. Thank you, as always, for bringing us a wonderful source that we're going to get into reading to one another and then seeing the conversation that unfolds from it in a moment. And welcome to all of you who are with us. Some of you have been here for 335 conversations, and others of you have been joining more recently, and some others we know dip in and out, and you're all over the world and in all different time zones. And some of you are people who have been deeply involved in the programs and coaching that we do in Third Space, and some of you probably have no idea about what we do in Third Space. You just found these conversations because they were of value to you, and some of you know us, and some of you don't know us. It's wonderful to feel, Lizzie, just as I'm saying all of that, feeling all the different ways in which this particular conversation is like the connection point between many, many different people who may not ever directly get connected with one another, but we're all connected to one another because of our participation in this conversation. And I know also that the conversation happens between you and me, Lizzie, about things that we think are important, and it's a kind of conversation that we said 7.5 years ago when we started thinking about this, that we, kind of conversation we want to bring to the world because it's so intimately related to what we get up to in everything that Third Space gets up to. I know that it's not just a conversation between you and me, because there's everyone who's listening, and then there's everything that's going on in all of your minds, all of you who are listening. And then I know that there are the conversations that you have, many of you have, with other people because you heard this conversation. So it's like some giant worldwide set of connections and listening and meaning and thinking and feeling and wondering that gets seeded and fed each week. So, thanks for being here with me, Lizzie, and thanks everyone also for being here with us. And we're really glad you are.
Justin. So Justin, just to riff off that for a second, I think for the first time I've certainly seen this week, somebody joined the Facebook group who found us through Spotify. And I don't know exactly how that works, whether people can search in Spotify or something, or somebody, I don't know how you find us through Spotify, but somebody said that. And I thought, oh my goodness, like you can find us just because of Spotify. And I'm really want to welcome that person and everybody else who comes to us randomly without much context. It's really wonderful to have you here. And this poem today by Roberta Morrow, who I know as Bobby, by the way, she is a Turning Towards Life listener. And so this is a big thank you to her for writing this poem, which is a personal poem that she just wrote for herself and happened to read it to me. And I thought, oh, hold on a second, that would be good for Turning Towards Life. And she was very happy for us to use it as our jumping off point in the conversation. And so, how wonderful we're doing this more and more, Justin, as people who listen to Turning Towards Life and who are part of the Turning Towards Life community and the Third Space community are writing things that are an amazing starting point for conversations for us. And I'm so glad that that is true here. So I want to just thank Bobby for being someone who writes like this and reflects the way that she does so that this kind of poem gets born in us. So here we go. This is called This Small Space by Roberta Morrow. And it goes like this. I've curled in, observing the pained frame of freckled rain trickling down the window. Steam falls from my clay cup. Hugged in cast shadows and held in fresh sheets, I try to find home within myself. Complex, cluttered colours shine on difficult days. One part still waits for a calling. She is soft, broken, real, and trying. A frame for the rain to run, a window for truth to shine. Cracks of comfort come with falling, folding into the wisdom calling.
See this small space. I've curled in, observing the paned frame of freckled rain trickling down the window. Steam falls from my clay cup. Hugged in cast shadows and held in fresh sheets, I try to find home within myself. Complex, cluttered colours shine on difficult days. One part still waits for a calling. She is soft, broken, real, and trying. A frame for the rain to run, a window for the truth to shine. Cracks of comfort come with falling, folding into the wisdom calling.
Thank you, Justin. So this poem is so potent, and there's so many roads that I could go down. Which to choose? So one piece of this little poem that really shot out at me is this line, she is soft, broken, real, and trying. And I think it stands out to me because I can feel the invitation to genuine and soft, I think is the word, self-appreciation for the moments when we are open, really, really open. And when we're open, this kind of vulnerability arises in us. And the way that these words, these lines, paint the picture of being in these fresh sheets and being held and allowing whatever brokenness to shine forth, and to then open into whatever wisdom is calling in this opening, in this crack of whatever the normal uncrackedness looks like in our lives. When there is this kind of opening where there's difficulty or sadness or confusion or unknowing or goodness knows what, just this big, big opening, that we can hold ourselves, we can appreciate ourselves, and that there's wisdom somewhere here. And maybe we need to be curled in some sheets and to be watching some raindrops and having a hot cup of something with us. And just genuinely stopping in the vulnerability and not doing things to stop it or to distract ourselves, but to take a moment to feel into what's here, what's the gold, what's the wisdom, what's the response that we can find in us to this part that's calling for help, that's wondering what to do next, that doesn't understand or that's broken. How can we be open enough and still enough, do something supportive enough of our systems to allow there to be wisdom arising in it, rather than all of the things that I certainly got taught to do in my life, which was to run or to hide or to avoid or to push down. There's so many mechanisms that we can get up to. And this feels like a very different narrative for when something arises that needs our attention than the ones that my habitual life would ordinarily invite me into.
Audrey, I was thinking whilst you were talking, Lizzie, about all the different kinds of responses we can have when we find something arising in us that needs our attention. And even the idea that there might be something arising in us that needs our attention for some of us will be new.
Yeah.
Because we might have lives that are entirely outwardly directed. You know, what we do is we act out into the world in various ways, which may be helpful or unhelpful, but the idea that there might be a tending inside to do as well. And I suppose the way I got thinking about it on reading Bobby's words and hearing you is this reminder that to every habit that we have about how we attend to our lives, when it becomes a habit that excludes all the other possible ways, it can be deeply, deeply unhelpful. And that one way to read Bobby's beautiful poem is, this is a call to those of us who don't know yet how so much how to do the thing that Bobby's talking about to get interested in that. And I find myself wanting to read it that way rather than as a prescription or something. There's nothing in the way Bobby's written it that suggests it should be a prescription. It's so easy for us to fall into having a stock answer for everything that occurs in our lives. So I was particularly taken by the thing that you said about not necessarily having had many chances for this kind of gentleness, this kind of inner gentleness to be modeled for you. And I think that's true of lots of us, actually. I think lots of us in the world were told to not, weren't given much in the way of skillfulness of taking care of what arises inside us, but we're given other ways: get busy, ignore it, act it out, all of those kind of things. So certainly for me, when there's something, I love this line, trying to find home within myself, that Bobby writes. For me, when I have, in the many, many, many times in my life, when I have lost contact with something that's home in myself, I notice, perhaps like many people, that it's easy for me to either try to ignore it and like try to make it go away, that feeling of somehow not being in contact with something I need to be in, or to get very, very harsh inside. I definitely internalize that, and think about, lots of us have experiences as we're growing up, maybe in our family systems or in schools or whatever, that the way you deal with difficulty is some kind of harshness. And so it's a real gift to have words which remind us, and I'll come back to this line that you drew attention to, that there is often in us something that is soft and broken and real and trying, that could really do with our loving care. And then at the same time, I want to hold alongside that a recognition that sometimes in me, when I find myself right in the spot that Bob is writing about, there are other different moves which are also very life-giving. So sometimes I've sat in this spot with a soft, broken, real, trying heart, trying to find home, held in fresh sheets with the rain falling. And sometimes what I notice as you were speaking is sometimes it really helps me to go the other way. It's like, get out in the rain, go and help somebody else, go and have a conversation. So I want to always, more and more in my life, I want to hold together the beauty of these words and the beauty of its opposite somehow at the same time, like hold both ends together. And so hearing you speak has got me thinking about the different kinds of kindness that we might bring to our soft and tender parts, actually, which is what Bobby's pointing us into so beautifully.
And I'm really moved by the inherent thing in what you're saying, and what Bobby's saying, is that there is something in us and of us that when we do these things, there can be support arising for us. That whether it's that going for a walk or wrapping ourselves in sheets, there is a wisdom somewhere, something arising in us that is helpful to whatever's happening, to whatever's going on. And that's also not something that is widely taught, I don't think, in normal life, which, you know, there's this whole kind of emphasis on, well, if there's something that's difficult, how about this and how about that and how about this on the outside, like, you know, you've often spoken, Justin, about marketing, and, well, if you looked like this, everything would be okay. Or if you looked like that, everything would be okay. If you had this, everything would be okay. Or if you did this thing in the world, your life would be complete, kind of thing. And whatever the practices of us walking or talking or being in the sheets, there's something about the inner happening that's possible for us as human beings, where we can be at home in this body, like in this experience, whatever that experience is, we can feel at home rather than playing this futile game that I know how to play so well of being in flight from myself and not wanting to inhabit my experience, but wanting to have it be different or move away or compensate for something or whatever. And all of those things, of course, they're just happenings and they're fine to happen. But I know that this poem calls me because of the kind of homecoming of being with myself that feels really, really important, and really being with myself in whatever I'm in feels like relief to me, feels like relaxation, feels like, oh, okay, I can stop running from myself. And I can feel that balm, kind of soothing feeling of being human, of not being in flight, not being on the run from my experience in this invitation. And I'm so grateful for that. And I noticed, Justin, in my parenting at the moment, you know, parenting a 4.5-year-old and feeling the satisfaction of watching her being satisfied with her life and not interfering with it by distracting her or moving her onto something else or defending her from boredness or boredom or whatever. I feel like I just want to have her really live in the experience of the blossom or the cold on her hands or the drawing she's doing or something. And I notice how my development isn't separate from that. That in my relating to myself, I can find the pathway that wants to say, right, okay, well, let's do something else now because you finished that. Or, oh, how about this? You know, making all these suggestions so that we're not in that nothingness space. And then, you know, this poem and all these invitations to being in our experience show me how important it is to allow her to have her experience be just that, and to not have it need to be huge or big or exciting or wonderful or anything, but just for her to find those things in the very, very, very ordinariness of this nothingy moment where nobody else is awake yet and we're dangling around the kitchen, and just being okay with this experience. And I'm more and more finding the connection between my own development and my path with how to be a parent. And that goes for being a parent to myself, being a parent to children, and being a parent to anyone who's up for being parented. You know, it's a really important and interesting connection for me to be making. And I think this goes towards that too.
Yes, Bobby's words are such a call into a paying attention to the contours and texture of this particular moment, and doing so in a way that's not to do with running.
Mm-hmm.
And which I so appreciate. And maybe this part that you're talking about parenting, about how parenting's, for any of us who've been parents who are parents, it's a great practice ground for this, because we can notice, but I don't think it's any different to what we often do with ourselves. What we do with our little ones is very often what we're doing with ourselves, which is this flight from whatever is. We want to interrupt whatever's happening, and then we want to interrupt the interruption. You know, can I resist interfering with a 4-year-old's simple joy or simple boredom, or, you know, whatever it is, to try and make something else, sort of generate something else? And there are times for generating, and thank goodness we generate. But I suppose the thing that I'm paying attention to here is when when do we generate that because we're not prepared to stay with what is, because somehow we feel like something very important is missing, and that if we were just to move quickly, we'd fill it in. And that really what we're responding to there is one way of talking about it is that we're trying to fill in this feeling of there being something missing in us that we feel, many of us feel all the time. And it's no wonder that we feel it, because we lost all kinds of connection at various times. To wait till he came back, Lizzie, before I could carry on talking.
Carry on.
You know, we have so many experiences of losing connection. All right, I'm just going to pause for a moment. But for those of you who are listening who can't see why I just paused, your 4-year-old just came in for a visit just at this moment, Lizzie, talking about this. So, we have so many experiences of there being something missing. So we move from that sort of oceanic state of oneness with everything that it is what it must be like to be as yet unborn, into the feeling of physical bodily separation from the one who gave birth to us. And then when we're very little, we experience endless kinds of separation from the closeness that we long for with our caregivers. And that may be because of physical separation, maybe because our caregivers can or don't care for us in the way that we're hoping for, all of those kind of things that happen. And maybe it's not surprising that we try and fill that deep sense of being separate. We try and fill it with experience, and it's hard to stay with the actual experience we're having, because if we slow down enough, this is this line that where Bobby says, "I try to find home," I think is very resonant of that. It can be hard for us to feel home, even though this world is the only home that we've got, is the one home that we're always in. It can be hard to feel at home. And so we move away from the feelings of loss and incompleteness, and we try and that's where marketing comes in. You know, all the things that will tell us, if you just go and do X, then you'll feel satisfied and you'll feel fulfilled and you'll feel full. And I was speaking to somebody just the other day, and we were talking about how easy it is to spend a whole life thinking that at some point that will come. I'll keep on going on this path, but when I get to the next stage of my life, then I'll feel at home. And we can get to the very end of our lives and find that we never found it because we were looking in the wrong place. It was never going to come from there. And so this way of reading Bobby's words is a call to see how we can find kind of home in the actual experience that we're actually having, and not to run from it. And your examples of parenting are all examples of not trying to interrupt the being intimately in contact with the actual experience. And I was thinking about it when you were talking about it. There is a way in which all we ever have is our intimate experience. But what else in the way, what else is there to what it is like to live a life other than the flow of experience that we have? What else do we have? You could say we've got lots of other things, but of course, it all comes to us through the experience of it. So for any of us who live in a world that has encouraged us to run from our experience, taking up the practices of coming back gently to our experience and paying attention to it can be very healing and very helpful. And the other thing that just occurs to me is, so there would be a way of listening to this conversation, Lizzie, that might sound like what we're talking about is, how do you have a better experience of your life? Which is an entirely reasonable question, of course. Now, I often also wonder about how do we live our lives with more care for who and what's around us? You know, how do we not just fall into a kind of self-centered, well, I just want to have whatever experience I want to have kind of life? And actually, I think that that paying attention lovingly in this way, paying attention to the soft, broken, real, and trying aspects of us is part of the path of responding appropriately to life. Because when we can do this, what Bobby's calling us into, we might find that we are less reactive to what's going on. We lash out less because we're feeling like something's missing and I've got to grasp it or change it or grab it or force you or control you or, you know, whatever. We start to cultivate in ourselves a more a softer, more attentive, more responsive stance to the world. We're less caught up in trying to run away from doing things in the world in order to run away from our own experience. And in order to do that, we have to be able to feel our brokenness and the rain inside us and make comfort inside. All these things that Bobby's talking about, feel what's here and bring comfort where it's called for, and get less, and in doing so, become more responsive rather than reactive to what's in us and what's outside us. So it matters. It might be that this matters way beyond, did I live a life where I paid attention to my life, which is a good question. It extends also into, did I live a life where I got to pay attention to what and who was around me and to respond to the world in the light of all of that, rather than tuning out, being reactive, grasping, grabbing, rushing into everything.
Yeah. My gosh, Justin, it feels like so much is opening here, and I can feel like a grief arising for all the ways that we never arrive when we have a kind of erroneous narrative of what it means to live, and how horrible that is to arrive somewhere and think that that's got the thing I wanted and it's not there. So I can feel that grief in me now. And as you're talking as well, I'm feeling into what happens for me when I'm in a practice like this that Bobby's inviting us into. And it's that, I think, a sense of abundance arises rather than a sense of lack. And when I have an inner abundance happening, I'm much more able to respond to the world with generosity and do things that matter than when I'm responding from this snatched place in me. And so I'm feeling into the kind of the abundance of being, if you like, that when I can find home here within myself and I can be at home in my experience, I can reach into the world and feel like I can respond to the things that are being asked of all of us in these strange worldly times. And if I'm not doing that, it feels impossible. So the more resourced I am in this kind of inner way, the more possible it is to respond in the way that I would wish to respond. And I can also feel a grief about all the times I'm not resourced because I haven't done this as well. And I'm amazed at my capacity to keep on needing this invitation. You know, I need reminding all the time to find contact with my inner experience and to allow the wisdom to arise and for me to feel this abundance of being. And I'm really grateful to the ongoing invitation. I'm really grateful for Bobby that she writes this way, given the kind of wider culture that we're in and how hard it is to do this sometimes, certainly for someone like me who's a ordinarily outgoing and kind of I'm reaching out all of the time and have a kind of dynamic of fleeing and being running on the run from myself. Like, well, I'll just avoid that one. I just won't look at that thing, or I'll be really defended about that thing. And so to have this courageous poem that says, there's something here, let it all be an invitation to be in this experience and see what's here, what gift, what abundance lies right here, right in this moment. Where the difficulty looks like one thing, maybe it's another. I'm really grateful to that. So Bobby, thank you for being the person who wrote this and being who you are. And thank you for these words. And thank you, Justin, for finding threads and being in this like you are and the openness that you are. And thank you all of you for hanging out with us in the conversation. And hopefully there are some little threads that you might take forward in other conversations with yourself and others too. And we're going to be back next Sunday for another episode of Turning Towards Life. 330 somethings. And thank you everybody for being here.
Thanks everyone. Bye-bye.